This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
We would like to introduce the wonderful Mark from the Blowfish Saxophone. Mark, welcome to Get Serial Tuesdays. How are you?
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, it's great to be here.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure having you here. So just for all of our listeners who don't know, Mark is here to promote the release of his album, The Digital Outtakes Volume 1, which is due for release on October 6th.
Yep.
Perfect. So, Mark, you've been playing saxophone for 20 years, and I believe that you started in 1998 playing live improvised sax at Double Oboe.
Yep, that's where I started professionally, but yeah.
Yep. First of all, the saxophone's a great instrument, but also not a popular choice, especially in throughout sort of pop music. We know you've been playing for 20 years, but professionally, but how long have you actually been playing for, and what got you into it?
I taught myself piano when I was five.
Wow.
Studied saxophone, then taught myself guitar, bass, drums, trumpet and trombone through high school.
Yeah.
And just went, love this stuff, chose the saxophone as my instrument, whether it was popular or not. Growing up in the 90s in the grunge era, Everyone's going, you're a jazz guy, what? But yeah.
Making jazz cool again.
Yeah. So you're a one-man band by the sounds of it, Mark. All these different instruments, all in one man.
Well, I basically did that because I wanted to be a songwriter producer, and I had to understand the way that people played their instruments to write for them.
Yeah.
But it helps.
It plays in your favor in that you can go into a recording studio, and you don't have to rely on sessional musical players to come in and play, outlay the drums or outlay the guitar track, because you can do that all yourself, and that also, I guess, gives you creative control.
Yeah.
I know other musicians and other bands where they've done an album recording, but because they've been out a drummer or been out a guitarist, it's actually all done digitally. And that, I guess, especially with drums, it takes away from the authenticity of the sound.
Yep.
And although to someone like me, I'm like, oh, that just sounds pretty cool. My boyfriend's a musician, and he just sits there and goes, no, it's electronic. It's done on the program, where you record and mix all the tracks. And he says, you can tell, it just, you know, he goes, to a musician, it drives you insane. but he goes, you don't know any different, but he goes, to me, like, I can hear it, and it just sounds completely different.
I suppose it brings in the difference from the studio to live as well.
So, yeah.
You know, like, even if you produce an album like that and then bring the live element to it, you can then bring the range out so much further. But yeah, but doing it yourself means that you've done everything exactly the way you've wanted to do it.
Exactly.
And worked it through, yeah.
Cool.
I suppose so, yeah.
So I guess to build our knowledge about saxophones, because you are obviously the saxophone master in the room, or potentially in the whole world, I don't know.
Oh.
We'll give you that credit. Definitely here at SYN.
Sometimes, yeah.
Are there different types, and do you have a particular choice of the type of saxophone that you play in?
Look, there's about, I think, five or six saxophones. So I play two of them. So I play alto and tenor, which is kind of the higher and middle-low kind of saxophone.
Yeah.
I probably prefer playing tenor. It's just the size of it. It just fits my hands better.
Yeah.
Pardon me, but they go from low to high. You know, you can get a soprano, a soprano, etc., and it goes up. But it depends what style of music you're playing as well.
Yeah.
So the tenor works with some stuff, alto works with other stuff. Mm-hmm. It just depends. With the album, I think I did one track with alto, and the rest was all tenor, just because of the range of the songs and basically how they worked and how the arrangements were going to go. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Our final day of school back in year 12, I remember a guy came in and actually played the saxophone, but it was like a very small miniature plastic saxophone, and he played Sandstorm on it, which is quite a popular tune.
I'm
just wondering, have you ever gone like a pocket sized saxophone? Have you ever delved into those deep waters before?
I haven't played one myself.
I didn't know they existed.
No, they do. Yeah,
really?
You can get curved sopranos and stuff like that. So
awesome.
The normal sopranos are straight, and then you get this little thing. It's like, cool, okay.
And it sounds a lot like a kazoo. Like, this was a really small one. Like, this is probably the size of, you know, maybe an iPhone 5 or something. So it was quite a small saxophone,
awesome.
But it made a very funny sound.
Wow, okay, that is small.
You're very easy to carry around, I think.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly right.
I don't know how well you could play it, but this guy played it pretty well, I've got to say.
Okay.
Now, Mark, you obviously started out in Melbourne at the Double O Bar, as you mentioned before. How have you seen the Melbourne scene change, the particular music scene, with, you know, embracing saxophone players? Has it become easier as a saxophone player to play in Melbourne? Or?
I think these days it is. The funk soul thing is definitely up in vibe at the moment, which is great. Scar's come back a little bit too, you know, like the whole band thing, I suppose, with the 90s soul stuff that's going around. Coming through, it goes in ebbs and flows. Sometimes I can be booked out for work, other times it's not. It just depends on the style and what people want. But yeah, it's definitely in at the moment, which is good for me. but yeah.
Just out of curiosity, Mark, past and present, what musical acts inspire you? So looking at the past and also the present.
Okay. These days... one artist that actually inspired me to do this album was a guy called James Brandon Lewis. He did a hip-hop kind of jazz album that I listened to and went, I reckon I can do that. But I mean, this is something I've actually wanted to do for ages, and it actually kind of got me off my butt to actually go, I actually want to try and do something very, very similar to this myself. And look, I've loved stuff from heavy metal to prog to funk to hip-hop, you know. I saw Public Enemy play in 91.
Nice.
I saw, I saw the Beastie Boys play back then and stuff like. You know, I've just had this whole gamut, you know, from Mudvayne, Slipknot to stuff like that. But I've brought that into my playing. So my love of different things. I'm not a traditional jazz player, so to speak.
Yeah, but you can hear that, especially on the album, is the different. The different styles I heard on the opening track. As I said to our listeners earlier, I had a listen in, and it's not what you expect to hear from a sax player. I thought it was really like laid back, awesome. So I was playing it last night. My boyfriend walked in. He's like, "What are you listening to?" I was like, "Oh, this guy we're interviewing tomorrow." And it was just a really laid back tune. I really really enjoyed it. So we're excited to have a listen to a little later on.
We've got many fans on different fronts of you.
No, that's okay, thank you. No, yeah, look, the way I actually did the album was to go, okay, I want to do a bit of this, bit of this, bit of this. And it's the first instrumental album I've done.
Yeah.
I've worked on 5 albums in the last 12 months. So my first solo album was back in 2000. So it was just like, I got off my butt after 17 years and went, or 16 years and went, it's about time I do another one.
Yeah.
But I kind of went, what do I like? What do I enjoy? Yeah. Playing to. So I've incorporated from hip-hop, funk, soul, even electro house to stuff, you know, from my past, like working in the clubs, you know, and I've tried to kind of put a bit of everything into it, and hopefully people dig it. And
No, it's awesome.
They definitely will, I reckon. It's a very, very nice blend, that's for sure. And it's unique as well. I think that's one of the most important things, mixing all those different musical paths together to make something just unique. I think... I think Melbourne's crying out for that.
I hope so.
I think Melbourne, out of all places, is the place. And like you said, your style and also what the style of the album varies from hip-hop to acid jazz, funk, soul, and electro house. Do you explore these various styles not only because you like to play them, but because you also think it helps attract a larger audience?
I think so, a little bit too. So it broadens, I suppose it broadens my audience. It gives people a bit of a thing of, I didn't think, like you said, you listened to the album and went, that's not what I expected. So to get people to go, oh, wow, sax can kind of work with that or work with that, and I didn't expect that. And, you know, so then people are like, okay, well, then, you know, now I might look for other stuff like that. I don't know if other horn players listen to what I've done and go, gee, that's cool. That's a bonus as well, I suppose,
Nice.
And from my personal experience, I mean, I've followed a lot of celebrities like Katy Perry and Jessie J and that sort of thing. So obviously they have quite close followings. Would you say that, I mean, your following is quite similar? People sort of tend to follow you around, or you don't have that as much?
Follow me around on the street, do you mean?
I guess maybe if it gets to that.
I know. I've been recognised a couple of times. It was funny. I've got a saxophone.
Nice.
I've got a tattoo, which no one can see here.
But amazing.
It's the neck of a saxophone. But essentially, good. I was sitting on a train one day, and somebody walked up to me and goes, excuse me, are you the Blowfish saxophone? She goes, I saw your picture on Instagram the other day. I love it. Just like, and she was excited to kind of see me.
It's an insane tat. So for all of our listeners who obviously can't see it, it's just on your forearm and it's the neck of a saxophone, but it's quite a realistic.
It's quite detailed.
Image. Just shading. Wow. It's not coloured. It's black and white.
You didn't sketch it on yourself, did you?
No. I'll go to Sassy Rice to do that.
It's a multi-talented, multifaceted.
I was walking down the street in Manhattan once and somebody ran across the street. Back in 2013, going, oh my God, you're here. And I just went, you're kidding me.
No,
just a horn player from Melbourne. He goes, I've been following you for years. And went, where are you playing?
It was just such a small world.
and then I went, geez, I'm just a horn player from Melbourne. I think.
yeah. You're trying to play yourself down, Mark. Wow. Yeah. You've got fans, you know, in America as well. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Wow.
Well, with social media, you can see where a lot of your fans are coming from now. And yeah, I've got a bigger fan base in the States and Europe, even Asia. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
Oh, that's incredible. Wow. Do you think that's also because of the jazz and blues? Because it didn't really originate from New Orleans and from New Orleans, and that's what they're known for.
Yep.
So I guess they're looking for new artists outside of their own backyard.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's incredible that you're able to reach that distance, and I guess that's also really satisfying to know that you've kind of made it.
It's great when they like stuff or even comment on stuff and, you know, and you're like, oh, wow, okay.
But it makes it all worthwhile at the end of the day. It makes what you're doing, like, you go, yeah, this is why I do what I do.
Mm.
Off the album, what was your favourite song to write and also play?
The favourite one to write and play? Probably the one I most enjoyed playing was probably Freedom.
Yep.
Mm. That was, I think, the second track I did on the album. Kick Drum Melody, which is the first track on the album, was actually the last one I did.
Okay.
I actually came up with that drum feel and went, I've got to do something with this.
Sure.
Then worked out some keys and stuff like that and just went, this works, and got colour, went, this is just what I want, just sing like this, and the track just worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just I went, yeah, cool. But yeah, probably my favourite song on the album was probably Blowfish Soul, because it brings it up. It's just got that funk feel.
Nice.
There's not a lot of me in it, but there's even a track on the album where there's no saxophone at all. I've just done it as a production track.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Just to kind of go, hey, you know, this is what I do. But, yeah, the live version of that song is going to jump tenfold. Yeah.
But I think what that does is that it takes you out of your comfort zone, but it lets your listeners and your followers know that you're more than just a sax player, that, you know, that all of your past experiences have built to this, and this album is, again, defines all of your skills, not just the sax. Yeah. Like, to be a saxophone player, I think, takes incredible talent, but it shows that your talent goes beyond just one instrument, which is really cool.
Thank you, yeah.
Now, of course, the album, as you were saying, doesn't always feature the saxophone, but what it does also feature is a lot of great Melbourne artists, a lot of Melbourne soul singers. Carla Troiano and Jamie Coleman, of course, feature in there. Why did you particularly choose these artists? Have you worked with them before? Did you really like what they were doing?
Well, yeah, I've worked with Carla before and Jamie as well. Jamie actually plays in another band that I play in. We're about to put our album out to it soon. it's called Zand Epic for everyone out there, but it's dubstep hip hop. But I know I've worked with Carla probably over about the last year or two now. Mm-hmm. I know her voice, you know, and she's great with what she does with Mayfield and everything. And I was writing these tracks and I'm humming melodies, vocal melodies. I went, she's going to be able to do exactly what I need. Mm-hmm. So, with Jamie, he co-produced on the album as well. So we worked out of his studio at Treehouse of Sound. And, when I was writing it, I just went, I want a rap track. You know, I want a hip hop track. And I said, I want you to do this. And he's like, and he came back and I just went, that's exactly the way I wanted the track to be.
Perfect. Brilliant.
I just went, perfect. You know.
Creative synergy. Definitely there, yeah. Isn't that amazing?
But yeah, Jamie and I work well together. But, yeah.
And have you been working with Jamie for a while? Is this been
2 years now. So, 2 years. Yeah, so I've been working with him in Zand Epic for 2 years. So, as I said, we just finished the album, but our minds work like that. It's just, we just have this scary thing where we go in the studio together, and we'll do something, and I'll sit and go, no, and then we'll just both come up with the same answer or just the same idea, the same feel of, okay, yeah, let's change this.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's good to work with someone, a producer as well, to kind of help you get everything done and sorted.
Yeah. And to certainly complement each other on ideas, that's certainly very important.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
So the question that everyone's wanting to ask, and I'm sure our listeners are probably feeling the same way.
Jumping out of their seats. Yeah.
Where did you come up with the name The Blowfish as part of the
Saxophone? It got given to me.
Oh,
okay. I was playing a club one night and someone yelled out Blowfish. Just
randomly.
Effing blow. just blow that thing, and then I went, yeah, that works.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And yeah, if you, when I first started going online with it, I spell my name with a C. So yeah, it's F-I-S-C-H. Yeah. So it Hooting the Blowfish would come up first, but now if you search it, my name's kind of, if you, he goes, oh, do you actually want this? And it comes up with stuff. So I'm like, it makes me a bit happier.
So in pronouncing it, you don't say it like a Sean Connery, Blowfish.
No.
You know?
No. It's just a Blowfish.
Good.
Well, the Blowfish saxophone. I actually added the saxophone bit in because, I don't know, for Google searches and stuff, it just makes it more defined.
Yep, specific as a to you. Yes. Yeah.
And no one else seems to have it, so I'm like, oh, that's great.
Nice.
Yeah, take it. Yeah, absolutely. And do you actually know the person who said it? Can you give them credit? Or
I can't remember. No, it was
mystery, yeah.
It was shout random. It was a random crowd member.
Yeah, shout out to the shouter-outer.
Yeah, thank you to the crowd. Crowds can be amazing people.
Inspirational.
Yeah, exactly. Very inspirational. So how are you actually feeling about the album release this Friday? Because you said that it's been a while since your last album or solo album. Mm. So how are you feeling?
Right now?
Yep.
Content.
Nice. Yes. That's good.
Excited. Happy. Yeah, I spent months, my stomach churning when we're doing mixes and finishing tracks. So I just go, should I change that? Should I? And then I just got to a point where I went, it's going to stay like that.
Perfect.
I just had to sit back and go, okay, cool. Then we got the final mixes done. Made me feel better mastering. Yeah. And,
I think if you continue to mull over things, especially when it comes to music, it will never be perfect in your eyes. And I think that's because if you gave yourself all the time in the world, you would continuously change it. And I think if you give yourself just that time and just go, okay, enough is enough. This is the best it will be at this point. And sometimes that's the best thing is that, and then with the success and with all the things that come from it, you will look back and go, oh, if I'd spent more time and I changed that, it probably would be completely different and it wouldn't be.
I actually had a 3-take policy on the album.
Oh,
so,
nice.
So, so when I dropped Horns, I went, if I don't have it in 3 takes, we're going to take the best one.
Okay.
I knew what I wanted to do. A lot of it was improvised, but I went, no, it's going to be 3 takes.
Yeah. Okay.
Because if I keep going, I could be there for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Which makes it a good reflection of you at that time as well.
That's important. Now, for all of our lovely listeners out there, for all of the Blowfish saxophone fans, where can they find out more information about you and how can they get the album?
Okay, the album will be available through Bandcamp, iTunes, Pandora, basically all your major online stuff. I'm not doing physical copies at the moment, but yeah, the album's available from Friday. So Ditto Music is basically putting it out worldwide, which is great.
Nice.
And the album launch is coming soon, so I'm just getting my band together and we're just working out a few little things, and then I'll be basically announcing the show and we'll go from there.
Perfect. And thank you so much for coming and having a chat today. Thanks. Good luck with the album launch, and guys, you're listening to Sin 90.7, Get Serial. Enjoy.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.